Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
Remember when
yes,
you
sir.
Ran away and I got
okay.
on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha!
Let her
look,
maniac.
I heard you checked up so quiet there. I heard you checked up, genetic freak. So, allergies. You're a mythological cult hero, but go along with maniacism. The man with the 21 and a half inch arms, the 63 and three quarter inch chest, the real big neck, and the extremely long and potent, oh, you know what it is. Welcome to the second episode of the Maddest Maniac Mikey Zeebon Uncensored Show. I am the Masked Maniac, joined by Mr. Locked In before me. So, Blog Talk made me call in as a guest again. Mikey, what the hell is wrong with these Blog Talk people?
It's terrible, man. I tell you, it's been one thing after another on both podcasts. But we're here.
Yeah, we're here. Mikey, I got to tell you something. I got so much to talk about, I can't tell you. You know, what are you laughing at? I didn't even say anything yet.
Well, I know what you're going to talk about. So.
You know, I thought I was a yet-a-Jew, you know?
Until
okay. I headed down to Miami. You know, I went to Miami this weekend for two reasons. First of all, you know, we sell the Disney World Junkie t-shirts. And I talk about it all the time on both shows, but printers are lowlifes. I mean, there's no low life than printers of T-shirts. That's something I've come to learn. And I've said it before. I always thought the wrestling business was filled with low lifes until I started dealing with these low life printers. And now I'm like the third or fourth printer since I'm doing these shirts. And this guy all the time, there's something. You know, the turnaround's okay, but there's always something. Oh, there's printing on the back of the shirt. There's printing on the belly button of the shirt. There's no shirts. And the guy lives in Miami, and he drives down here and makes the shirts and then drives home. So I don't have shirts for the last 2 weeks, and, you know, I pay for them. I pay for them in advance. So since he lives in Miami, and since my wife has a trade show in Miami, I said, what the hell? We're all going to go to Miami. So, you know, Mikey, back on November 16th, sorry, we had a terrible car accident right before we went to Hawaii. And,
right.
You know, I was knocked unconscious, actually. And I'm not exactly on the ball. You know, my head's just not good. It's not. I mean, I get confused in the supermarket, and that's not a joke. It's serious. It is what it is. So, you know, I make this drive, which, you know, they called it the worst rainstorm Miami's had in 20 years, and I'm in it. The nervous driver, you know? I drive like an old lady to start with. So, finally, we get to Flakowitz Deli, my true deli down here. The only, Mikey, if I tell you, with the exception of Canisius, which they say they're known for Canisius, I don't know who would know them for Canisius. With the exception of my square Canisius, which your wife has some kind of issue with eating my Canisius, and lying and saying they were lost somewhere, but that aside, my thievery aside, because you know, I'm a Canish aficionado, if that's even a word.
But, I think that is work.
With the exception of Canisius, Mikey, it really is equal to a New to imagine everybody is like Seinfeld's parents. This is like Boca del Vista Section 1 or whatever it is on Seinfeld. I'm 50, and I'm the youngest in there by 30 years. I mean, everybody's old. Everybody smells old. And you know you're in a real Jewish deli, you know how, Mikey? Because everybody working there is nasty and treats you like shit. That's how you know you're in a real Jewish deli and it's going to be good. So we walk in. Now, I know that I'm memorable because of my mouth and my appearance. But, you know, okay. I only go here twice a year. I walk in. Now, you know how Jewish delis all have, like, these old white people as waiters?
Of course.
You know what I mean? In their little black suits? Well, we get Maddie. Every time we go, we get Maddie. Maddie is like a 400-pound, 6'6" black guy who's, like, from Jamaica. This guy remembers, actually, everything he eats, and he only sees us twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's pleasant. So we go in there, and, you know, we get stuff to take home. So my wife goes to the counter while we're eating because we want to bring food to the hotel. And I like, you know, Mikey, what kind of cookies do I like?
You like those, the different colored ones.
I like the chocolate and the vanilla cookies dipped in chocolate with raspberry in the middle. Remember
that? The raspberry in the middle.
Okay.
Yep.
Those your wife doesn't steal because, yeah, your wife doesn't steal those because they tie the box too tight for her. So she can't get in it. So my wife goes to the counter and she says, can I get 5 pounds? Yeah, no jokes, okay? Can I get 5 pounds? You know that's what I eat, Mikey, because you brought them for me. Can we get 5 pounds of the cookies with the raspberry? We never sell them. We don't make the ones with the raspberry. What do you mean? We get them twice a year for the last 5-6 years. You don't get them here. So what are you, nuts? How long have you been here? I've been here 97 years, I'm telling you. So they argue about that. Then my wife says, can we have a dozen Bialys? No. Well, why not? They didn't take the tickets. My wife says, there's nobody here. But you gotta take the tickets. My wife walks over, the ticket machine's broken. I mean, you're walking near this fighting. So we're sitting and we're eating, and I hear behind me, all you hear is complaining from every table. Typical Jew deli, right behind me. I can't eat this shit. There's no kippers. I don't have kippers. Mikey, I don't know what the hell a kipper is. So the waiter sees a big black guy, and he goes, hey, what did he call him? What's the word? What, Mikey, what's the black word, the Jewish word for black person?
Schwarzer.
He said it. He said Schwarzer. No, that's not what he said. Hold on, I don't want to say the wrong thing. He signals for the black guy to come over. Well, it just so happens they have 2 6'5", 400-pound black guys. So the black guy comes over and he goes, hey, kippers. Black guy looks at him and he goes, I'm not your waiter. Who's your waiter? I'm not your big saucer. What a shit is that? So out comes Maddie, who's the big black guy. He gives him olives and the guy says, but they're kippers. Maddie says, eat the olives, they're fine. And it's crazy. Then behind me, I don't have salad pickles. Marty, they didn't give me salad pickles. I'm not eating this. And then you hear, and this is all at the same time. Then you hear another table, somebody screaming, I'm not getting the corned beef until they cut me a piece of Detroit. I'm not paying for it until I can try it. There's like 20 tables all yelling at the same time. Like, I was going to take a knife and stab myself in the head. So we eat. I get my corned beef sandwich and my 5 potato pancakes.
Okay.
And we drive to the hotel. Okay? Now, this is a $1,000 a night hotel, Mikey. I'm not a $1,000 a night person. We're not a $1,000 a night family. We get there, Mikey, it's raining so hard, there's nothing to do. Okay? If I can't put my Speedo on, smother myself in oil, I'm not happy. So we get there, the room's not ready. Even though the room is supposed to be ready, even though check-in's like 3 o'clock, our room was actually supposed to be ready at 10 a.m. because there's some kind of gold, silver, platinum people or something, I don't know. So the room's not ready. It's not ready for 4 hours. It's pouring rain. They advertise they have a skating rink and you can play. You can go bowling in the hotel. Well, neither one opens till 6 at night. There's nothing, and look, I get it, everybody out there likes looking at half-naked Spanish women, all right? I'm married with two little boys sitting there. There are these women, I mean, look, I'm the first one to tell you Spanish women are good-looking, and they're exotic-looking, okay? But how come the ones that always have the string bikini up their ass have asses 5 times bigger than mine? You know, it's disgusting. A little thing of hair coming up to the belly button. What is this? This is all Tellerman? So, we're sitting in the lobby. You know, me and Dylan are playing pool because they have a pool table smack in the middle of the lobby. Figures, I have the one son who hits the bottom of the pool ball on everyone. It's a marble floor. I don't know how many tiles he might have cracked. Because there's white balls bouncing all over the place. You know that sound when a pool ball hits a tile? So we're destroying this hotel's room, destroying their floor. Then all of a sudden you hear, all right, they tell us the room's ready. We're a second from pressing the button to go up in the elevator. Woo! Please exit the hotel. There's some kind of an emergency here. I don't know. It was more official. And there's fire alarms. They're telling us to evacuate the hotel. I'm not evacuating shit. I've been waiting for 4 hours for my room. I'm going upstairs. So the whole hotel looks like the Willy Wonka scene where they were in the white room. Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So just as we're talking about how it's like the Willy Wonka scene, all process comes to dwarfs. They're just bumping up the stairs. I'm totally baffled here. So, and I'm not in a good mood. My head doesn't feel good. We go upstairs. We still hear the sound. The bulb on our TV set's half dead. So I'm trying to watch Young Guns. I can't even see Emilio Estevez. I don't know why he doesn't change his name to Sheen like the whole other family does. But
he'd probably get some more jobs if he did.
It's horrible, Mikey. And I'm really hungry now. So we look up to try to find the diner, and I find one. It's called the 11th Street Diner.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in there. Now, at this time, everybody's trying to talk to my wife. Because she's dark-skinned, they think I'm married to a Mexican or something. So everybody's trying to talk Spanish to her, not knowing that she's from another country and she's Polynesian. So that's aggravating me. Everything's aggravating me, Mikey. So we get to the 11th Street Diner. It's an old-time-looking diner. It was filthy. It smelled like shit. Mikey, I had two of the best pizza burgers you could imagine.
Yes.
They were amazing. It was fantastic. But explain to me how I get two burgers, my wife gets a Cuban sandwich, Willie gets fish and chips, my Willie. Fish and chips no matter where he goes. Who gets fish and chips in a little dirty diner, Willie? So, and Dylan gets tits, macaroni, and cheese. How does this cost $110?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's mind-boggling how you're gauged right up the butt. So anyway, go back to the hotel. We go to sleep. It's not good. I cut my nose shaving. You know, people wonder what it's like with a nose like this. Like, how do you cut your nose shaving? I go to sleep, I wake up, it's 100 degrees out, I get my oil on, I get my Speedo on, I lay it out for 4 hours, I'm so sunburned I can't move, we drive home, go to Flakowitz, I'm back home, and Mikey, I hated it. I never want to go to Miami again. I swear to you, Mikey, I have never seen so many low. And I don't care if you're offended, be offended. I've never seen so many lowlifes in my life. You know, all the Spanish people, and I'm somebody who feels Puerto Rico should be made a country. Puerto Rico should be made a state. It really should. I mean, God knows every other person is Spanish. You might as well just make them all citizens, make it a country. They'll be proud to live here. But they made Miami, is what they did to Miami, it's filthy. Nobody speaks English. I felt like the immigrant. It's horrible. Oh, we saw that Ari guy from the tattoo. I walked past the tattoo place, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Miami Ink?
Yeah, that's right.
I went past there, I saw him. What a filthy place. The whole thing was filthy, Mikey. I never want to go to Miami again. That's my 15-minute story. I'm sorry if I bored everybody. I had to get it off my chest. Mikey, it was horrible. It made me so sick, you know? Who screams around and they schwass him with a black man to a black guy?
I'm not surprised. I was in South Beach when I got for my honeymoon. I was there for like 2 days. That was a while ago. And it was just disgusting. I'm never going back to that area ever again.
Yeah, I think that's where we were. We were Miami Beach, like South Beach. And, you know, all these guys my age are on the beach. Are there with like 19-year-old girls in string bikinis. And it's all these girls do. With one hand, they have a phone in their hand. The other hand, they take their fingers and they're running it down the side of their hair. They don't take their hands off their hair. They don't put down their phones. All these guys are like setting the chairs up and doing this and doing that. They don't tip at all. All they do is ask, gimme, 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 gimme. And they don't tip a dime.
Right.
You know, they wear these like $1,000 bathing suits, and it doesn't look like they've washed their hair in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It baffles me.
Did I ever tell you the story when I was walking on the beach in South Beach? It was early in the morning. I was walking with my wife, and there's these two bums. And when I tell you they're bums, like they're filthy, dirty, disgusting bums. They're laying on the side of the right, exactly. They're laying on the side of the beach. Like by the side of the sidewalk where you would enter the beach area. And this is what I hear. Hey, fat ass, Jenny Craig is down the block. And as funny as it was, and it really was funny because I could appreciate that, I turned and I looked at the guy, and he's laying in garbage. And the nerve of this guy to, like, what are you insulting me for? You know?
It really is. You really are describing Mark Adler.
It was disgusting. Hey, we have our first caller of the day. Should we patch him through?
Yeah, patch him through.
All right, let's see. Hey, caller, who are you? Where are you calling from? You're on the air. Hello, caller, can you hear us?
Oh, come on, Demi. Just say something. I'm going to go back to another long-winded story.
Seriously.
All right.
You there, caller? All right. I'm going to put him back on hold, and we'll see if he comes back.
All right. But, you know, Mike,
I wanted to tell you another thing. So I'm so sick of New York. I'm so sick of the Northeast. We got snowed on again last night. And
you
this
know,
morning
Mike,
I'm out shoveling.
I don't get it. Why are you staying there?
We're really waiting for Ellie to graduate elementary school, which is this year. And then my wife just needs to find a job, and we're out of here. You know, this is public record now, you know?
Let me tell you something, Mikey.
Yeah.
Just leave. What does she have, 2 more months of school, Ellie?
Yeah. Well, no, until June.
Months, all right. Do the 3 months, the 4 months, come and just come. I'm telling you, Mikey, you have to do it. The schools near us, they're all A schools. Granted, nobody speaks English here anymore, which is another thing I just do not get. I don't get it. I live in Windermere. It's supposed to be like the highest economic place. There's Tiger Woods lives near me. Johnny Damon lives near me. And I got to tell you, Mikey, Johnny Damon doesn't know how to drive. If anybody doesn't know how to drive, you know, twice, Mikey, twice I got cut off in downtown Windermere. And both times, mm-hmm. I get cut off every day, but twice in like the last 6 months, I said to my wife, I swear to God, I'm going to kill this guy. And I look, and both times, it's Johnny Damon.
He was just on Celebrity Apprentice, too.
It's unbelievable. And I'll tell you, it's we mentioned Tiger Woods. You know, I always wanted to, I think I said this on the old show. Am I the only one that knows why he sucks now? You know, I've known him, Mikey, since I moved here. When I moved here, right, I joined up Gold's Gym in Orlando. I won't get located. Joined up Gold's Gym, which I'm now banned from. So I joined up Gold's Gym, right, and I really liked it. As soon as I joined, I noticed every morning I see Tiger Woods here. And at the time, I'm a wrestler. He's Tiger Woods. Granted, he's a tad bit more famous than me. But,
you know,
I always say that one thing. You know, a lot of people don't know who I am when you see me. But you kind of, back in those days, remember I had my platinum long hair and my platinum hair. But you always knew I'm something. I'm somebody. Might not be somebody good, but I'm somebody. You know, you knew I was an athlete. So he would actually start talking to me in the gym in the morning. And you know, once we got started talking, you know, we didn't become, hey, let me call you up on the phone, friends. But it would be, hey, what time you coming tomorrow? Oh, I'll be here 9. All right, I'll see you at 9. And we would talk basically almost every morning. And he would always work out by himself. He never had a trainer at that time. And we would talk about everything. I mean, we would do. We actually... Again, when we weren't best friends, it was to the point where, you know, the first words out of his mouth is, hey, how's your father-in-law feeling today? I mean, we were on really friendly terms. And as the years went on, you know, we would talk about SportsCenter, everything. Because that's actually, he would tell me, all Tiger Woods would watch is SportsCenter every day. He said he'd watch the repeats over and over again, nothing else.
Right.
And as time went on, he started, actually, he had an altercation in the gym with, they had this big, fat, old Spanish woman as the manager. She's like 50-something years old, and she got in a fight with him in the morning, because he actually brought a trainer in one morning. And it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I happened to be working out that early. And they had this little side room where they would do private training, but nobody ever used it. And he went in there with his trainer. And then I remember, this is Tiger Woods. And she sees him in there, and she walks in, and she says to him, hey, you can't be in here without a trainer. He says, well, I spoke to the owner. And she says, well, I don't care. You're not allowed to be in here. He said to her, you know, what's your problem? She says, get the fuck out of here. He said, fuck you to her. I always wondered why I never heard about this anywhere. And here, Tiger Woods getting into an F-word thing with her years ago, so he was banned from Gold's. So, a few years later, I'm working out at Lifestyle, and he comes in, and, you know, we're talking here and there, and I start noticing, now, he's working out with, like, some 50 or 60-year-old German Nazi-type woman, right? I'm not kidding you, Mike. I'm not exaggerating. You're talking about a short, fat, like, German-type woman. And all of a sudden, he's doing bodybuilding and powerlifting exercises in the gym. Now, I'm watching him. We're not talking once. We're not talking about twice. We're talking about he's doing it every day, Mike. I mean, he's doing half squats with weight he can't handle. He's doing powerlifting stuff, which is making him no longer flexible. You know, many, many, many years ago, I was offered a contract to play baseball for the Minnesota Twins back out of high school. And I kept getting so muscular that it just wasn't feasible anymore, you know? And if there's anything I know, it's when you're over-muscular, how you can't play sports anymore. That's why he sucks. That's why he keeps getting hurt. Because, I mean, it's more important to this idiot that he does, that he looks like he works out. That's what he cares about. And I'm telling you, and I never understood why people don't know that. Am I the only one that watches him when he's in the gym? You know? It's mind-boggling.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It's more mind-boggling. and nobody even goes near him. You know, it's like, and it's like people look at him and they're like, oh, that looks like Tiger Woods, but it can't be because he wouldn't be here with regular people. So that blows my mind. Blows my mind. Now, you know, funny thing is, why do I not care for Tiger Woods anymore? Well, you know, like, I never worked in my life. Never had wrestling always made me money. I've owned gyms, and I've owned this, and I've owned that, but I never had to work. And when I moved to Australia, we really went through our life savings because it was a mistake. We moved there, it didn't work out, and it was just not a good thing for us to have done. And when we came back, we went through our savings, I panicked, and the first thing I did is I get a job as the head bouncer for a place called the Roll Bar. Now, Mikey, at the time, I'm like in my early 40s, right? Everybody's like 19, 20 years old that works there. And I don't know what to do. I've never been a bouncer before. I'm like, I'm getting into vicious fist fights every night. Mike, vicious. Mikey, I'm no exaggeration, and Scorpio will tell you, he was having really hard times, too called Scorpio. So I went ahead and got him a job working with me at the Roll Bar. So me and too called Scorpio, every single night, and if I can get Scorpio on the show, I'll bring him on. We're getting into fist fights, Mikey, where we're grabbing people by the skin of their neck and punching them in the face. That's how crazy it was. And it's every night. Every night. We're beating people up every night. It was crazy. Completely crazy. And it was just out of control. And girls were having sex in the middle of the nightclub, and it was just, it blew my mind. But anyway, that aside, I go ahead, and after that, I get a job, and I'm the general manager of a health club called Lifestyle Family Fitness. And when I was a wrestler and Tiger Woods was before it was old, two athletes, it's, hey, Frank, what's going on? The minute he sees me working, guess what I am? I'm just like, hey, how are you? Just throwing a hand up high. All of a sudden, sitting there talking to me, it's just, hey, what's up? That's it. So right away, I was like, oh, go fuck you. Oh, I said the F word. I'm going to get in trouble for that on here, aren't we? I know they're looking to get us out of here. What?
We're uncensored.
We say we're uncensored. But remember, a couple people complained about us before, and bad things were getting ready to happen.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
So that's why
we got a question in the chat room.
Ooh, okay.
So they want to know, ask the Mass Maniac what he thinks of Obama wanting to censor and block the Netanyahu press conference.
Mikey, I got to tell you something. Mikey, truthfully, without us getting too crazy, what is it that he has against Israel?
Yeah, it's a major issue that it's hard to understand. Like, they're supposed to be our biggest ally.
I mean,
theory, you know, and I'll let you go, and then I'll tell you mine.
I mean, you want to know my truthful theory on everything? Without getting too crazy or, you know, I was never one to be in the conspiracy theory thing. I really am not. I've never been.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jesse Ventura, but I don't even watch his show because I think it's foolish, the conspiracy theory thing. But the fact is, I truly believe that he doesn't love the country. I truly believe that he wants, you know, he kind of wants the Muslims to take over. You know, I think that's what he wants. I really, truly feel that, and I'm surprised that inside him he doesn't realize that he can't handle the job he has, and he really is just a community activist, but I think he really wants to do away with freedom, and he truly wants to just be the sole leader of the whole world. I think it sounds silly. I don't think it's so far off Hitler, to be honest.
It's definitely not.
I mean, I don't want to sound silly, because of course Hitler is much worse. I don't know what I mean, Mikey? I don't think
right.
he wants to see anybody hurt, because I don't think he's a bad man like that. I think he really doesn't. I don't think this guy has a clue what's going on. And I really think he thinks, hey, we're better off with a Muslim world. You know?
Well, he,
that's
yeah,
what I think.
In his first book, he even wrote, there's a quote in there of his own words that says that when, like, times get rough and like, if war goes down, that he's going to be siding with the Muslim people. And that's out of his own words. And people just don't even like talking about it. But here's my thing on the whole Israel and Netanyahu thing right now. Right now, Obama has been in not-so-secret talks with Iran to try to get Iran to stop building nukes, or so that's what they say. So what I'm thinking is that they're just making concessions, and eventually Iran's going to be able to build these weapons, and they're going to become allies of America or under this Obama regime. And then you have to look at it a little bit further. Who's Obama's top advisor? It's Valerie Jarrett. Valerie Jarrett is Iranian. Her family is Iranian. He's constantly stabbed Netanyahu in the back. He's constantly disrespected him in public and in private. And Iran is always saying that their main purpose is to annihilate Israel, wipe them off the face of the earth. So it's not far-fetched to think that Obama doesn't have, like, good intentions for Israel, and it's because of who influences him. Like, what Giuliani had just said this last week, how he doesn't love, Obama doesn't love America. The reasons that he was giving, all the people that mentored him growing up and the people who helped etch his belief in whatever political views he claims to have, they're all people of, like, the Communist Party. And this Valerie Jarrett is no different. And it wouldn't shock me one bit if that was the case, that they really were working against
it. I feel the same way. And the worst thing here is, you know, you say things like well, here, we'll go back to what Giuliani says. Giuliani says that he doesn't think Obama loves America, and everybody attacks Giuliani now. Yet,
right.
When Obama said it about Bush, who, God, I don't know anybody more patriotic than the Bushes. When he
mm-hmm.
says that about Bush, it's okay. It's okay. You know, and it drives me nuts. And I'll tell you what else was on my mind when you mentioned, well, there's the Iranian lady in the White House. You know,
yeah, Valerie Jarrett.
Every time you get into this discussion where we talk about Muslim this, because I'm sick of always having to say Islamic radical Muslims. All right. Every time you mention that there's an issue with a Muslim, the liberals come right in and they feel they have to defend it because, well, I have a Muslim friend and they're not all like that. Okay? Well, let
mm-hmm.
me tell you something. I have Muslim friends too. And they don't seem like they're all like that either. But let me tell you something. You're choosing your Muslim friend over your country. But your Muslim friend would not choose you over their beliefs. And that's the problem.
Right,
now, I'm not saying don't have Muslim friends. Jesus, of course. And there are good Muslims out there. And I'm sure there are Muslims that don't want to see the whole world destroyed. But the problem is, in these terroristic times, you have to realize that your country and your family are more important. You know, I don't know how to... There was a guy on my page, and every once in a while you would argue with him. And his name was... like, you're on my Facebook. There's a Muslim guy, and... Abdul, I think it is, something like that. Abdul, he has two. Now, he's actually a real person who goes to
uh-huh.
the YMCA that my kids go to. It's like the Roper YMCA. And I met him. He's a really nice guy. We talk in the mornings at the gym. He actually talks out against these Muslims, you know, the radical ones. He speaks out against them. And
mm-hmm.
he says that to me at the gym. And he's like, oh, I can't believe how they are. I came to New York to have a better life for my family. And you wrote something, and I don't remember how long ago it was. And it might have been extreme. I don't remember. And he comes
okay.
right in. people have to realize the Muslim faith is like none other. You know, this is what they believe. You may not believe that your friends believe this, but they do. It's how they were raised. Just that, you know, I go to pick up Willie at school now. And I'm telling you exactly how it is. And I don't really want to hear or care when you people tell me, well, it's not all. All right? I'm going to go pick up Willie at school. I'm going to get online an hour early with all the housewives like we all do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be three different Muslim people in their big family vehicles that are going to cut the line as they do every single, okay? It's not Jewish people, it's not Catholic people, it's not a bunch of Hindus with a dot on their head. It's the same three Muslim women in three separate cars that probably don't even know each other. Because it's what they do. There's a strong sense of entitlement going on right now. And they're using this to their benefit. It's like with the airplanes. Don't check me at security. I'm Muslim. Check me
right.
And I'm going to complain. You know, that's what it is.
You're
that's
profiling
what it is.
That's
me, the world we live in. What's that?
I said, you're profiling me. Damn you.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Is profiling bad? Yes. Is it necessary in these bad times? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
I've told the story before. How many times do I have to tell a story where these Muslim people walk into Disney, all you can see are their eyes, you can't see their faces, they complain to security they don't want to be checked, they complain to this, they're let in. I walk in with a hood and my giant sunglasses, and they ask me to pull the hood down. What happens when you walk into the bank and there's a big sign that says no sunglasses? All right, there's 37 and a half Muslim people in there wearing sunglasses, and they ask me to take mine off. Come on. Don't be serious. You
it's
know,
preposterous,
but
it's true.
The point that we're trying to make is not to hate Muslims, it's not to hate anybody. It's to love your country, respect your country, and your country and your family, or your family and your country come first. Not just some random friend you have that you feel you need to defend because you're a liberal.
Oh,
you know?
I can't take them.
I cannot take them myself.
Yeah, I was talking on somebody else's thread on Facebook today, and these people were, like, attacking the person. It's an older woman. She posted about what we were just talking about, Iran and Israel and Netanyahu and Obama. And they're just attacking her. So I put up all the facts that I mentioned to you guys just now, and their response to me was to call me ignorant, to call me an idiot, to say, like,
yes,
nasty
ignorant.
Things about
you're
me.
Yeah.
So, but not one of them responded to anything that I wrote. And it was
of
just like, you know what, I'm not even going to respond anymore.
Mikey, always remember, it's Bush's fault and it's Fox News' fault. That's what it is.
It's so funny because that's what they said. I never made mention once of what you...
I'll tell you the funniest thing. You know, you can make fun of Fox News all you want. You really can. You really can. But the fact is this. While you might not like Fox News, Fox News, if you ever actually seriously watch it, actually reports the news. It's very low on opinion. They don't do a lot of, this is my opinion. They give you the facts, and they let you decide.
Exactly, and they
put
people on that represent both sides.
Like, every other station you listen to, it's their opinion. You know, seriously, you hear about police killing this one. You put on Rachel Maddow, that pathetic fraud of a human being, and if you notice, I put her on tonight and watch. Anytime she's talking about somebody getting killed, she's laughing. It's funny. It's funny to her. Ha, I bet the Republicans are laughing over these police killing this one. Everything's funny. You know, it's
right.
Funny people got murdered. This is what, I mean, you know, it's crazy. I mean, all these channels are, and the liberals don't understand, it's their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's their opinion. And there's nothing But you have to open your eyes a little bit.
I can't stand Rachel Maddow. That's one dude wish
God.
Would just go away.
I do, too. I wish she would just put her head under a car tire. She needs to put her penis into a blender. Joe, and I've said it before, and I'll keep on saying it, Mikey. All these liberals, they want everybody from every country to have every right in the world, right? But they don't realize if these countries that she wants, if these countries that all of these liberals want to have their way, they're the first ones that get their head chopped off. They're the first ones that these other countries, like the Muslim countries, do you really believe the Muslim countries are going to allow homosexuality? They're not going to do that. There'll be no gay people. Every gay liberal that wants to stick up for the Muslims, you are the first to go. The guy's chopped your penises off and then your heads. I mean, this is what blows. And then all the women, whatever female liberals that are like, I have Muslim friends and it's not that bad. It's not that bad? Well, I don't know how to be in control over there. You're going to be used for nothing but for men to use to service himself. I mean, this is what they want.
This is ridiculous.
Think of it, you liberals.
And this idiot in this conversation, he accuses me of being brainwashed by Fox. Not that he knows or doesn't know if I watch Fox, but he just automatically says it. And then when I ask him where he gets his information from, he says he gets it from his own college radio station that he produces himself.
What are you kidding? Complete recharge. You know, the biggest problem we have, in this country, Mikey, is so simple. Black people don't realize that they're Americans. White people don't realize black people are Americans. We're the same.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be white people and black people and Chinese people. Everybody who's American needs to just be together against all these other people. You know?
Well, now everybody has to hyphenate. They have to hyphenate who they are. They're African Americans, or they're Spanish Americans, or they're Asian Americans.
They're African Americans. Some of them have never even came to Spain, Africa. Yeah, black people, white people. You're born in America, you're in America. You know? I mean, I said, look, I'm Jewish, I'm Catholic. I don't know what the hell I am. You know? I mean, you know, I know I'm Dutch Holland. I mean, I'm all these different things. I don't call myself that to start out. You know,
it's part of the political correctness thing, and it's out of control. It needs to stop.
Political correctness is horrible. It's the worst thing to have ever happened to this country. You can't say it. Listen, I've learned, like I said last week, saying fat hurts people's feelings. But really, you know what? I get it. It's not that big of a deal. Get over it. I'm on a daily basis. People make steroid jokes at me. They make big nose jokes. I'm losing my hair. What do you want? My stomach's so big I can't look down and see my wiener. You know, I mean, come on. You deal with this. You deal with what happens. You know? I mean, let some of you come up and tell me how you were beat up like I was as a kid. You know?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And then I have a very good friend who's a conservative who gets offended whenever I put up those funny pictures of, like, a guy with his cock out or something, you know? Like, relax.
Okay.
He gets so mad at me. Like, he questions my conservatism. Aren't you supposed to be a conservative? Where are your values? Meanwhile, he smokes weed.
Blows my mind.
You know?
Blows my
mind. It really does blow my mind. But here's another thing, and I was talking about it before with the snow, and you were saying, I need to just leave already. So I never finished telling you what happened. I'm shoveling out my car this morning, and the right side of the car is by the curb. So I'm trying to, like, clear the snow by the curb so I could get my car out, and I slip and fall, my back first, right into the curb, and it hurt so bad. Oh, you don't understand. I can't bend down right now. I can't pick things up right now. I feel like crying. It's the worst feeling right now. And I called out a sick work, so.
Unbelievable. Hey, Mike, any callers?
No, we don't. Well, the same caller's there, but that's the person who asked the question in the chat room. They also they want to remain anonymous, but they said they'd like to know when you're sending out the baseball fantasy invite.
Josh, give me a couple days. Give me a couple days, Josh. I promise I'll get everything set up. So, Mikey,
you said last time.
I know. So, Mikey, you know how we have last week we had Joshua. You have Joshua calls both shows.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Joshua calls a Disney show, and he calls our show. Well, Joshua sends me a message the other day.
And me too, and I'll tell you about it after.
Okay. He's really upset. And I got to tell you something. I like Joshua. I do. He's extremely annoying, but I like him. He's a nut. You know that he means well. And if somebody means well, you can't be unhappy with him. And he writes to me the other day, and he's like, it's just like, remember when I told you guys about the gay guy who wrote Willie? And he goes, I'm a 46-year-old gay guy, and I don't like how your father talks and all this stuff, and I'm not going to be your friend anymore. And the guy had to emphasize he was a 46-year-old gay guy to my minor child. Well, Joshua writes me, and he says, Frank, I really like you, and I really like Willie, and I really like the group, but the 400, 500-pound, 50-year-old woman and Smeller, you know, and for those of you who don't know, it's two people who, one really treated my children badly, and the other one just is friends with her and just, for some weird reason, wrote all these horrible things to me and then to Willie. You know, like the Smeller guy. I mean, the Smeller guy is like 40-something years old, and he writes to me and he goes, well, I want you to know I'm a better character hunter than your son is. Who says that? So I banned him from the group and all that. And he goes on and starts writing bad stuff about me, which is cool. And it is what it is. I'll live. And Joshua tells me that both of them threatened him and told him, if you're friends with Frank, Willie, or a part of this group, that he can't be their friend anymore. So Joshua goes ahead and says, okay, I won't be their friend anymore. But then, I guess these two idiots, right? The 500-pound, 50-year-old woman and Smeller, went ahead and had a spy check on him, and when they found out, they blocked Joshua. And I felt bad for Joshua because, you know, he likes having friends. He likes friends to talk about Disney with. And
sure.
So I wrote to Joshua, and I said, Joshua, I said, you know, you have a right to be friends with whoever you want. And he wrote, if anyway, it's a weird thing to me. He says, Well, both of you don't want me to be friends with each other. And I said, well, hold on here. I said, that didn't happen. I said, you can be friends. Why wouldn't I care if you're friends with a 50-year-old, 500-pound woman and who really, very rarely looks like she washes her hair, and some little 40-year-old twerpy guy named Smeller, you know? Really? I mean, why? Joshua, I said, I don't care. Be friends with them. You should be friends with everybody in the world if you can. And I said, maybe you need to discuss this with your parents. And tell your parents that you know, people are telling you who you can be friends with and who you can't be friends with. So he comes back to me and he says, you know what, you're right. I want to be friends with you and Willie, and I want to be part of the group and all this other stuff. And I said, well, good for you. But can you imagine that these two imbeciles are actually, I mean, there's never the second person that's contacted me on Facebook. Can you imagine that these two idiots actually waste their time writing people that are friends with my 15-year-old son to say, you can't be friends with him, you can't be friends with us.
These grown adults.
What kind of bizarre world do I live in?
My 10-year-old daughter wouldn't act like that.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Your 10-year-old daughter is up to no good, Mikey.
She is a good young conservative.
Unbelievable.
So Joshua has been, you know, we talk through Facebook Messenger from time to time, and we, you know, we canceled the last one because I was sick that day. So he wrote to me asking, you know, what's happened. He hasn't been able to find the link, and I told him I was sick. And he was really nice. Thank you. You know, like, hope you feel better. And then later in the day, he contacts me again. How are you feeling now? Are you feeling better? So I wrote back, yes, of course, I'm doing much better. And then he writes, Frank couldn't do the show by himself?
Oh, yeah. Joshua is the best. You know, somebody can put a face. This is one thing I've had with him for the last year. We go back and forth on it. Let's say I go home and I post a picture in the Junkies group of Sleeping Beauty. Just a picture of Willie and Sleeping Beauty. Here's Willie with Sleeping Beauty. Joshua will write right underneath it. I don't see why Mary Poppins should be up every day. You know? What? So I finally said to him, I said, Joshua, how come every time somebody posts a picture, you change the subject and nobody knows what you're talking about? That's fine. Why can't Mary Poppins be out every day?
He's
just, great. It blows my mind.
The other day he wrote to me, Michael, if you didn't notice, I requested to join the Disney World Junkies page as well. And I wrote, okay, well, I don't administer that one. And he writes, who does? So I said, Frank. He said, okay. And then he writes that he wanted to buy a Disney World Junkies t-shirt. So who does he need to contact? And I said, well, you should be contacting Frank.
He knows who to contact. We've been going through this for 2 days. For 2 days, he's trying to PayPal the money. It's going on for 2 days, you know? So I'm sure eventually it'll come through, you know? But he means well. I mean, I feel horrible that because these two idiots don't like me, which I'm so cool with. God, I'm so cool with it, you know? Because of that, Josh wouldn't know how to be friends with my son on Facebook. He doesn't even know these people, you know? I mean, I don't know. It stresses me out. I'm in emotional stress right now. But somebody, any questions or phone calls?
No, there's actually zero.
Why is nobody calling today? What the hell is going on here? So are we doing this show for no? Is there nobody out there in Maniac Land?
There might not be anybody listening at all right now, but that's not true though. Because you know Josh was listening.
Thank God, poor Josh was listening, and Josh is probably sitting there laughing to himself right now. So, Mikey, you know, I'm making the drive from Miami, right? And you know,
okay.
I retired from running shows, and I don't want to run shows, and I hate wrestling. And I had to think of something to occupy my time, so I'm sitting there thinking about, what if I ran again? What if I brought USA Pro Wrestling back? And I came up with so many cool ideas. I came back with, because, you know, Al Snow's in, like, this weird new condition. Like he's ripped to shreds, and he's really built now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll bring Al Snow in, and I'll do this with him, and then I'll bring King Kong Bundy back, and, because, you know, he's a stand-up comedian now, but... And I figured, I'll bring King Kong Bundy back, and he can do his stand-up routine in the ring, and maybe I'll make him the commissioner, and Bob Holly's been asking me to come in. Maybe I'll bring Hardcore Holly in. And then I said to myself, God, I can't run these shows by myself anymore, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe when you move here.
Yeah, hopefully soon, too. I got to get the hell out of here.
You know, I mean, Mikey, the food's horrible here, but if you can get past the not eating, you'll be okay. If you
just
eat at the Liberty Tree every day. Hello.
Oh, it just hung up right before I was about to connect him.
What a piece of trash.
All right, don't call back.
I bet he rings doorbells and runs away, too.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot when I was a kid.
Hey, you know what, Mikey, we should call people up.
Oh, I wonder if we could do that.
I don't know. I want to call some people up. Who can we call?
Well, You could three-way somebody from your phone?
Mickey, I'm illiterate. Don't you remember? I'm the guy that you have to do all the computer stuff for because I can't do anything.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Hey, guess what I did? I have too many friends on Facebook, right? So I figured, you know what I just realized? I have too many dead people on my Facebook page.
Do you really?
Yeah, this all of a sudden I'm looking through my Facebook. I'm like, he's dead, and he's dead.
Now, what's the...
should be dead.
What's the thing that you're supposed to do? I mean, do you keep these people on, or do we delete them once they're dead?
You know what? I deleted a bunch of dead people this morning. I look at their page to see. I mean, you know, Facebook's a big deal now. I mean, can you write from the grave?
Not that I know of.
And I'm looking, and I'm seeing people writing to these people. You know, one person's writing to this one guy. I'm not going to say who it is. I miss you so much. It's been 6 months. And I'm saying to myself, God, nobody gave this guy any attention when he was alive. And now when he's dead, you want to write to him? What the fuck is
right.
this? You know? I don't know.
So, hey, all right, so we're both big Jet fans, right?
Yeah, I'm a big Jet fan, but Mikey, you know how I feel. You know?
Oh, yeah, look, yeah.
Mikey, I understand you're a big Jet fan, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey, I seriously, without exaggeration, have been to over 200 Jet games. Okay?
Right.
I mean, do you realize how much that is? For a baseball?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's
and
a
it
lot.
Could,
yeah.
It could be over 300. Because up until I was 10 years old, my
mm-hmm.
dad took me to every Jet home game. Everyone. My mom told
nice.
Me stories that I was months old, and I'm sitting in the snow. Okay?
Yeah, you know,
go on.
No, I was going to say, I've never been to one NFL game, but I've been to every XFL game that took place.
Jesus Christ. But I'll be as honest as possible, okay? You know, I've been a Jet fan. I've been a diehard Jet fan for years. My whole life wearing shit green, okay? It's vomit
mm-hmm.
green, okay? Is it really right that every year it has to be this? Next year. Wait till next year. Do you know, even teams that suck, right? Like the Raiders. The Raiders suck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have good memories from being a Raider fan. And there's you know, you have a good outlook each year. You go to your Raider game, and even like, look at this quarterback they have. What's his name? Carr. You know,
yeah.
Here you have a kid putting up big numbers. It's fun to watch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun being a Jet fan. You know, let's say this year the Jets go 10-6, and Geno Smith is the quarterback, okay? I'll be as miserable if they go 6-10, and I'll tell you why.
Right.
Because there's nothing fun about watching this, okay? It's not fun. It really isn't.
Right.
You know, I had fun watching Phil Simms' son, Matt Simms, come in and play a couple plays. That was fun. You know, this is not fun. Okay?
Not at all.
The games you win are just boring. It's boring. You know, the last time the Jets were not boring was, and look, I'll say this right now, and some people say I'm nuts, some people say I'm nuts, I don't know what I'm talking about. Mark Sanchez came into this league 20 years old. Do you know how young that is?
Yeah.
He came in this league 20 years old. If he went to the Packers when he was 20, I guarantee you right now, he would wind up being a 4,000-yard par quarterback. This guy came in, he wasn't taught how to be an NFL quarterback. He didn't play a lot of college. You know, this guy, I mean, you know, I liked Rex Ryan, but he was horrible for quarterbacks. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, I haven't enjoyed a Jet game since Boomer Esiason was the quarterback, Mikey. You know, I enjoyed some of the Brett Favre games, but I'm being honest. You know, for me, I look back and I say, well, you know, I love that we got Boomer. That was great. Kenny O'Brien was the quarterback, and he was the league MVP. And the poor guy got his ass whooped so much he was scared toward the end. It's not
fun. He had no offensive line.
No, this is not fun being a Jet fan.
Right.
I'm 50 years old, Mikey. I'm supposed to look forward to football season. Tell me what I have to look forward to right now. I don't know the goddamn effing coach's name, do you?
You know, that's the problem. Like, I know it, but Bowles, Todd Bowles.
Okay.
Barely.
Why is he the Jet coach?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, he might be good, but when
we
just hired one of the best
chiefs. Tell me about his head coaching experience.
We just fired one of the best defensive minds in football to hire another defensive-minded coach.
Really?
So, that's what he is.
What do I have to look forward to? Look, do we want Mariota? We don't want him. You don't think the Jets are going to botch that up, that we don't get him?
Of course they will.
You know? Really?
I'm looking at their projected cap space, and that's why I brought this up. They have $54,752,000 spent next year.
$29 last year.
I know. And now it's up to 54, and I'm reading this article, and the only name that they bring up is Antonio Cromartie. $54 million, and we're bringing back Cromartie and his 17 kids.
Yeah, it's a bad, bad, bad joke, Mikey. You know, I don't... I mean, I want to be a football fan that looks forward to something. You know, if the Giants don't win, you can still look forward to it. I mean, these idiot Giant fans pick on Eli Manning. Frick, I wish we had Eli Manning.
For real. Oh, I'd give anything.
You know, I hear these people, they're some idiots telling me, Manning sucks. There's more interceptions than touchdowns. Really? It was something like 29-10 last year. You know,
that's
just ridiculous. Five of them came in one game.
And two Super Bowl rings to go with that.
Really? I just won the Super Bowl when I was, 3 years old? You know, I got to tell you, I'm going to say this, Mikey, and I said it last year, but this is it. If Geno Smith is the starting quarterback for the Jets this year, I'm going to find another team. I have to. I have to enjoy football season. This is not enjoyable.
I was rooting for the Jets, but, I was surprised that they even won as many games as they did win. And just the management, it's just terrible. So hopefully something will change this year.
Horrible, horrible management.
And every time we get into a position where maybe we might do something good, like we had the 2 years with Sanchez, one game from the Super Bowl, the second we get decent where something might happen, they do something to screw the whole thing up, and we're right back in the shithole.
Absolutely.
What's the story by you guys and NFL? Do you get the Jet games down there? Do you have the network?
I get to see one or two a year.
Oh, so you guys are stuck. Who do you get, Jacksonville?
She won't let me have the NFL network.
What do you get, the Jacksonville Jaguar games?
When they air, yeah. But that's horrible, too. They're all horrible.
I'm saying, though, you have to get two games, right? Who's the local team for you in Orlando?
You know, it seems we always get the Cowboy game no matter what, which is cool.
okay.
Can you imagine them bitching about people complain about how the Cowboys suck? Shit. I wish I was a Cowboy fan. You know?
For real.
We usually get Tampa Bay down here, but they're horrible also.
Yep.
You know?
See, I would definitely need to get the NFL package somehow. I couldn't be stuck with those two shitty teams.
I know. It's horrible. And, you know, a few people asked us to talk about the Yankees. Mikey, I got to tell you something. At what point did we become frugal?
Yeah, it's frightening. This is not the team that it's supposed to be.
No.
You know?
And I gotta tell you something. Who are any of us? Why do we care what Alex Rodriguez did? Do we want the Yankees to win the World Series? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. I gotta tell you something. I actually am a huge Chase Headley fan, mostly because he plays third base like Greg Nettles.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to me. We need a shortstop, okay? Alex Rodriguez was a shortstop. I don't give a crap how old he is. I don't care. Mikey, if he plays the whole season and doesn't get hurt, right? What's
yeah.
the downside? He hits 280 with 20 home runs and 90 RBIs? Is that the downside?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
It really is. That's the downside. And the odds are it's going to be close to the 30 home runs. It'll be close to 200
mm-hmm.
RBIs. If he hits 250 with 30 and 100, which if he doesn't miss any games is a possibility, are you serious that we don't want him somewhere?
Yeah, I don't get some of the guys that were even – like Sean wants A-Rod out of his life. Like, I don't get it. You know, if A-Rod comes back healthy, the guy – Yeah, exactly. I don't care how much money they
pay.
I don't care if they have a $300 million payroll. I want to win the World Series. Anything less is a failed season.
Junior, I love Mark Teixeira. I do. I love Mark Teixeira.
Yeah.
I do. But the fact is this. After he got hurt a couple of years ago, he admitted that he's scared. Okay, you're scared. Trade him. We can get something. Either play him, trade him. I don't get any of what's going on here. But I don't get not bringing in these pitchers. I'm not understanding that we're happy with the pitchers we have. I'm not understanding that we're...
The top of the rotation is pretty decent, especially if Sabathia stays healthy. And of course, Tanaka stays healthy.
Fat people are not supposed to lose. If you're great when you're fat, you stay fat until you retire.
Yep.
It's clear that everything good about Sabathia came from his legs and having a fat ass. He got rid of his fat ass. He can't pitch anymore. All right? If he's worth anything, Mikey, you trade him for something.
Of course.
You know, look at the Mets are trying to get rid of all these pitchers. Give some Moss. I don't know. I'm nervous about this year, Mikey. You know, hey,
let's hear what this caller has to say. Caller, you're on the air, 917.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Kurt from Queens. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Hello,
Big
Kurt from Queens.
What's happening, brothers? I'm actually sitting in the parking lot. I'm on a 3-hour break until my next class, so I figured I'd call and show and stir up some conversation.
All right, Kurt.
All right.
What do you want to conversate about?
Two things. Number one, I just heard a report out of Jets minicamp is that Geno Smith is depressed and on the verge of suicide. Is that true? And
I sure hope so.
Number two, I'm glad you started talking about a team that actually mattered in football with the New York Giants. Now, with Victor Cruz coming back, do you think he'll be the same, and will the Giants be a threat this year in the NFC East?
He doesn't have to be the same, and I'll tell you why, Kurt. Mikey, what's the name of this kid that catches with one hand?
Bill Beckham.
Let me tell you, Cruz doesn't have to be the man anymore. Because Beckham is. Beckham's the man on any team right now. So that makes Cruz that much more valuable. Eli Manning can be playing for the next 10 years. The problem is, when you have no running game, and I never understand why fans don't get this, if they know you're going to throw the ball, they're going to pick you off. If Eli Manning has Cruz, Beckham, he needs a real running back, a guy that can get that ball 25 times a game. If you get that one guy, then all of a sudden this Giant team will not be stoppable. I don't care how many points they give up. I don't care how many points they give up. You know,
but the key to that is
going to
be
quarterback.
Here's the
thing
about
that.
The key to that is going to be is the offensive line. They could have
the
great running back, but they don't have somebody to block them.
Andre Williams is a good running back. You know, whoever, and if he had a solid offensive line with him to help him, he would be like another 1,500-yard rusher. I'm pretty sure of it. He's pretty good.
And that's one of the reasons why Eli was having a lot of trouble, too, is because he has to make fast decisions, and it wasn't working for him, you know?
Kurt, I think what they really need is they need a real live stud running back. You know,
well, Adrian,
let me tell you,
he doesn't go back.
I don't want a child-beating piece of shit anywhere near any state that I currently live in or used to live in.
Right.
That is the type of what they need.
Here's the thing. I wasn't finished about Adrian Peterson. Now, he might go to the Cowboys, and they will let go of DeMarco Murray. I would love to have DeMarco Murray on the Giants. That would be
amazing. I would switch over to you guys in a second.
You're more than welcome to join us. Kurt, you're a Yankee fan also, right?
Yes, sir. I love my Yanks.
What's your take on A-Rod?
You know what? As long as he wins, everything is forgiven. Winning forgives everything. You know what I mean? I'm very happy that he's back.
And here's the thing. What does he have to be forgiven for us?
Right.
Well,
right.
According to some, it's the lying about steroids. But I mean, if everybody's on something, it's a level playing field. That's how I see it.
But we don't know what these guys are on. You don't know. I mean, I'm looking at people that are being kept out of. Let me tell you something. Like I've always said, I've never taken anything in my life, and I have 20-inch arms. I'm so sick of it. You know, poor Mike Piazza being kept out of the Hall of Fame. Because people think he looks like he's on steroids. Well, let me tell you something, okay? I've been a bodybuilder for 37 years I've been a bodybuilder. To me, Mike Piazza doesn't look any more like, he just looks like a guy that's in good shape.
Yeah, he's not that big. I've seen him in person.
He doesn't look like he's on steroids.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's one of the best hitting catchers of all time. To keep him out of the Hall of Fame is criminal.
No, he's actually the best hitting catcher of all time. It's crazy. You have to look like a fat slob. So it's okay for Gaylord Perry to cheat and go to the Hall of Fame, right? It's okay for any... Look, I love Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was the man.
Right.
Mickey Mantle was also a drunk.
On top of that, I remember stories that him and... Him and Joe DiMaggio, when they were on the Yankees, they used to take methamphetamines to pep up every game after a hard night of drinking. So, how could you really say that the sport was ever clean?
I don't understand who these people are that are saying what's worse and what makes you stronger. Listen to me. I'm saying it. I mean, I was offered a contract to play baseball out of high school. Okay? The more muscular I got, the suckier I got. Jose Canseco takes steroids because he's vain, because he wants to look good. A-Rod didn't take steroids to be better. He took steroids because he wants to look like Mr. GQ Muscles. You know, that's why they can't stop.
Right.
I don't get all this, you know? You know what I feel bad? I feel bad. You know, I hate drug addicts. You know that, Mikey. I feel terrible for Josh Hamilton. I mean, this is the only guy that doesn't fail the drug test. He actually comes forward beforehand and says, I slipped again.
Yeah, it's sad. It's tough, I guess, when you have those demons to stay as clean as he was for so long. And, he was clean for a while because the Texas Rangers had somebody living with him and following him everywhere he went.
Well, Mikey, there's also one other thing. Josh Hamilton relapses every time he's injured during rehab. You know, when he plays, his mind isn't on that stuff. And when he doesn't play, he sits around the house and, reads about how he's been sucking and then takes drugs,
Right. There's plenty of time to kill.
Yeah. But hey, Kurt, thanks for calling in. We'll send you a baseball invite next week.
Nice. There we go.
All right. Take care. So
we're doing...
We're
going to be doing baseball next week, you think?
The
fantasy?
Fantasy? Yeah.
$100 a person or what?
I like $100, but these lowlifes, they don't have $100.
Nah, don't put it together. Let's do it.
What,
Josh won last year?
In my league, I had a couple leagues. I don't remember, actually. Josh always wins.
I think, and Sean's league, I think he went to the finals, but they split the winnings.
I never know. I always lose. So I don't understand why I lose as the best team.
Listen, you know me. I always finish in last, but this year I set my line. Well, last year I set my lineup every single day and finished in last.
Yeah, but look at me. I'm still drafting Greg Nettles.
Yeah. Well, I wish Nettles was still playing. We'd be okay if he was.
Oh, man. Nettles, what is the best racist baseball ever had? You didn't know what a racist he was, did you, Mikey?
Nettles?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't he said something about, I forget who it was.
Reggie. He pushed Reggie in the face, left Reggie out. Look it up on the internet. Look up the John Birch Society. Do you know what that is?
No.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Look up the John Birch Society.
John Birch? Like B-U-R-K-E?
John Birch. I think it's B-I-R-C-H or B-I-R.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a KKK type group.
Oh, there it is.
Nettles. You see this?
Yeah, I see it.
You know who's in it? Nettles was in it. Dave Trevecki was in it. The whole San Diego Padres were racist back in those days. You didn't know that?
No, I had no idea. That's great.
See, what is this guys?
Yeah,
you know, I think Steve Carnegie was in it, and God, he was going to be the next president.
It's funny because they come off as like just conservative values, but when you dig a little deeper there, these guys are.
There was no bigger Greg Nettles fan than me. And I see Nettles at an autograph signing. And I used to, everything with me was Greg Nettles. And I went to the signing and I said, hey, I'm a huge Greg Nettles fan. I used to call Art Rush Jr. and say, hey, Art Rush Jr. is Frank from Queens, Greg Nettles fan. And, and then I'd say, oh, my God, you're black. And I used to get so many, hang on. And I asked Nettles for an autograph. He goes, sure, what's your last name? I said, Goodman. He goes, Jewish? I go, yeah. He goes, no, thanks. And he didn't sign it for me.
My God.
And, but I'm still the biggest Greg Nettles fan out there, even though he doesn't like me.
I got to meet Greg Nettles. I went on to a game, but it was an event for my job. And we had, like, a dinner, inside Yankee Stadium. And Greg Nettles was the guest that they brought in. So I got to eat with Nettles. I got a couple of pictures with him. I got an autograph picture. Guy was really nice, but he didn't know I was Jewish. So that might have, been the thing.
Yeah, see? Let me tell you. I remember hearing Brooks Robinson say Nettles was the best defensive third baseman he ever saw. Yeah, Nettles was unreal.
That says something.
You know what I never understood. Mikey, you got the computer there, right?
Yeah.
I want you to bring up Ron Guidry's career stats.
You got it.
Now, check this out. The guy averaged a 10-year career, because, he started late.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm doing this without a computer. I'm going by memory, okay? In a 10-year career, Mikey, I believe he was 179 and, 90, which averages basically to 18 wins a season and 9 losses.
Right.
Mikey, if that doesn't put you in the Hall of Fame, what does? Can you imagine somebody averaging 18 and 9 every year?
Yeah, he finished 170 in 91 with a 3.28 ERA. And that 1978 season is still probably the greatest season ever.
Now, Mikey, I want to show you a really good stat on Guidry. And I'm not here, I'm not near a computer, so check this one out, okay?
Okay.
2 points. Point number one, if you subtract Guidry's last full season in the majors, he has the greatest winning percentage in the history of baseball. Do you know that?
Right. Yeah, I remember a few years back that they said that.
Now, look at this one. Look at the losses starting from his first season. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How many seasons did he play, Mikey, till he lost 10 games in 1 year?
1980 was the first year he lost 10 games, and then 84, and then 90, and then 86. Those are the only years he had double-digit losses.
I mean, that's unheard of, Mikey.
Yeah,
and
he had a low ERA in all of them.
Mikey, if he didn't go into the bullpen for 2 years, you're talking about somebody that would win 20 games like 5 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Why is
and,
this guy
and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
And Mikey, it's not even a consideration.
I know,
it's
terrible.
It's not even a consideration. They don't even consider it. Blows my mind away. You know, blows my mind. His numbers, now check this out. 170 and 90, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bring up Sandy Koufax's career numbers.
Okay, that's...
I'm going to show you something.
All right, hold up. Just give me one sec. And he had 5 gold gloves. It's crazy.
Yeah, because Guidry was amazing.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Sandy Koufax. Here we go. He was another great lefty, right?
Yep.
All right, I got it right here. Koufax is in the Hall of Fame, correct?
Yep. That was maybe the greatest pitcher ever.
Yep, 165 and 87.
No difference.
Guidry's is better.
You bet.
He had a better career ERA.
Of course, I said a better career ERA, but
strikeouts and innings pitched were pretty much the same. Let's see, no gold gloves. Yeah, I mean, it's a popularity contest with the sports writers.
It's
not something that needs to change.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame just eats me alive, you know?
Right, and you look at Don Mattingly's numbers and compare him to, like, Kirby Puckett's. I mean, they're almost identical, and Mattingly's not in consideration.
Well, you know, I was never this huge Mattingly fan. I loved having Mattingly on the team. But there were a few things about Mattingly that bothered me, Mikey.
Okay.
You know, we talk about the steroid thing, right?
Yeah.
And of course, Mattingly didn't look like he was on steroids. But, you know, Mikey, the guy, and I'm going off memory, doesn't mean that what I'm going to say is right. I don't believe Mattingly hit 10 home runs in his whole minor league career, Mikey.
Wait, say again, I missed that part.
I don't believe Don Mattingly hit 10 home runs in his whole entire minor league career.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this
all of a sudden, he's a 30 home run hitting guy. The other thing was, while Mattingly had some amazing great seasons, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He had just as many good seasons.
Right.
You know, there was, you know, people are under the impression that Mattingly was a that Mattingly was a 330 hitter every year who hit 30 home runs and drove in 130 runs every year. And that
mm-hmm.
didn't happen. It didn't even come close to happening, did it?
No, not at all.
No. So, I mean, I understand he's Hall of Fame considerable. I don't know if he's really worth everybody carrying on about, you know?
Right.
I mean, was he Dave Parker? I don't know. I mean, Dave Parker could be better than Mattingly.
Mm-hmm. No,
right?
Dave Parker, I think, had a better career, and he had a bigger impact. Parker was on that 79 World Series team, too.
Yeah, but I don't think Dave Parker's on the Hall of Fame, Mikey.
Oh, I would be shocked. No, you sure about that?
Don't be. I don't think he is.
I'm going to have to look that up. Yeah, I'm not sure either. Andre Dawson is in the Hall of Fame, though, right?
I don't know if Andre Dawson should be in the Hall of Fame. I think Andre Dawson is a longevity player.
Right.
You know, somebody whose numbers are great because he played for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean,
yeah, look at this.
How come Greg Luzinski's not in the Hall of Fame, if you want to
put it
like that, you know?
Luzinski. Let's see. Dave Parker never got more than 24% of the votes on the Hall of Fame ballot in his 15. Yeah, and he's no longer eligible on the writer's ballot, but he can be considered by the Veterans Committee.
And what are his career numbers?
Let's see. Keith Hernandez is in the same boat. They just showed him. Where's his stats? He had a career batting average of 290. 2,712 hits, 339 home runs and 1,500 RBIs.
You see?
That's not pretty. Yeah, and he won Silver Slugger Awards, Gold Glove Awards, World Series Champion twice, 79 and 89, NL MVP, seven-time All-Star. He won the batting title
really,
two times.
I think it's really how people look at you. Like, I'll give you an instance. Willie mm-hmm. Stargell, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you right away you see Willie Stargell Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we got 3:45 left to go, by the way.
What, 3 minutes?
Okay. Yeah, 3 minutes, 45 seconds.
Other than like, Willie Stargell's home runs, I don't know if Willie Stargell belongs in Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know,
he was just loved. He was loved by everybody.
He was loved. I didn't love him all that much, you know? So, now, Mikey, we are going to do the Disney World Junkies show. I can't believe
mm-hmm.
Joshua didn't call in. We're going to do the Disney World Junkies show Wednesday at 11:30 in the morning, am I right?
Correct.
Okay. Hey, did you hear about, we took my wife to Liberty Tree for her birthday, and Chef Alfonso made her chocolate-covered strawberries for her birthday.
Nice. That's really nice.
I mean, is that amazing?
I can't wait to get there, but I'm not going to be there when they're open. They're going to be closed when I get there.
Yeah, but after you move here, I'm going to take you in and we're going to pay child.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about, to get that discount, baby.
I'm going
to
say you're a small 8-year-old.
That's great. All right, so we got Disney coming up on Wednesday, and then maybe we'll do, I think we should try to do the Uncensored on Sundays like we did the first time, because we had a pretty good following that day.
Okay, yeah, I'm kosher with that.
Yeah, Sunday around 6 p.m. or so, you know?
Yeah, I could do that. I don't know if I really have much going on Sunday night, you know?
All right, well, we'll find out later in the week, but we definitely got Wednesday.
Miami. All right, are we done?
Yeah, we're pretty much done.
Do you know I've had to urinate since like 10 to 12 since we started this? And now I'm stuck online with the housewives. I can't even go to the bathroom. And I say it's bad when you're old. I'll tell you, I know I'm going to pee on myself today. I just know it's going to happen. One of these days, I know it's going to happen. I hold it too long. All right, everybody, I'm the Mass Maniac.
This is Mike Zivon.
All right.
Mike Zivon.
Mike Zivon. See you later.
That's right.
Now, Mikey, how much more time we got left?
We got 30 seconds.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Go ahead, Mikey. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping ferns and basket weavers who sit and smile and fiddle their